Why bad things happen to good people. I still hadn't figured it out, but I'm getting a little glimpse as we go throughout this series, as we look at the movie, The Shack. Today's message is entitled, Step Out in Christ's Faith. As the words of the song said, man may say it's impossible, but with the power of God before us, we will win, or we have won. It technically is true. You really are not going to get to this place where you step out in Christ's faith if you listen to everybody around you all the time. Because I'm telling you, like Job's friends, you remember Job was going through this difficult time and so forth, and the three friends showed up. And there's a fourth one, though, that I'd really never thought about that we're going to see here in a couple of weeks that really represents more of Christ. Elihu, I believe, is the name of that one. But anyway, we're going to talk about the other three. But these three came, if you remember, they sat for a whole week, 7 days, and said nothing. That was the best thing they could have done, but then they just couldn't leave it alone. They had to start speaking. And I'm going to summarize a lot of chapters in just two or three verses as I pick out basically a few verses from each one of them's discourse. They began to speak, and there's chapters of this that I told you in the beginning I was going to spare you from. But I want to go to Eliphaz, the first one, in Job chapter 4 as we look at verses 7 through 8 or 9 right in there. He said, this is kind of summation of what he was saying, but he goes chapters doing this, but a few chapters. Stop and think, do the innocent die? When have the upright been destroyed? My experience shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same. A breath from God destroys them. They vanish in a blast of his anger. What is he saying here? He's basically saying what many believers still believe today, that if you're having bad things happen to you, then you need to quit sinning. Y'all ever been put under that yourself? I used to think that I said, wow, no wonder I had that bad luck, or I had this trouble in my life, because I began to look, Satan would remind me, keeping me under the law system of the do's and don'ts of the Christian life. And, you know, if you want God to bless you, you better be changing your ways. But many still believe this. Does sin have its own punishment and consequences? Sure it does. But I'm telling you, it's not God sending it on him, on you. Preacher, I had somebody say one time, I heard this years ago, that they pulled up Hosea chapter 8 verse 7, which says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Y'all ever heard that before? So the wind, you're going to reap a whirlwind. In other words, it's the reaping and sowing and reaping principle. I'm going to touch on that in a minute too. But many people are still believing that this is what we're under. In the New Testament, I'll just go on and touch on this now. In the New Testament, the only place you see sowing and reaping in a couple of places, one of them's in Corinthians, is in the context of giving. If you give and you sow generously, you're going to reap. It nowhere in the new covenant do you see the principle, if you sow bad things, then God, you're going to reap a harvest of bad things, and it's going to be orchestrated or sent to you by God. You will not find that in the new covenant. Study it out yourself. So I encourage you, if you're still thinking that your bad luck or bad circumstances are punishment, if you're still thinking that your lack of blessings are because you can't seem to get your act together or you feel unworthy, I encourage you to step out of that stinking thinking and repent. That means change your mind and realize it's not God doing it to you. Why would God remove your sins, as I'm going to read about a little bit later, as far as the east is from the west? And why would he say in Hebrews 10:17, I will remember your sins no more? Why would God say in Romans chapter 4, or maybe it's 6, that talks about that our unrighteousness and our sins are no longer imputed to us? That means that they're not held to our account again. Folks, that's a good place for an amen. Whew, aren't you thankful that God has already buried all of that? He's removed it from us. But there'll still be those people say, yeah, but there's still consequences to sin. Hey, read my lips. There are consequences to sin. Sin has its punishment. But here's the point I want you to see. Look at this on the screen. Jesus reaped what you sowed so you could reap what he sowed. Wow. That'll take you a little time to let that soak in. Jesus reaped what you sowed so you could reap. He took our unrighteousness and our harvest of unrighteousness. He took our generational curse that many of you thought you were under because your father or grandfather or whatever, well, you're in under generational curse. You are not under generational curse, and don't you let Satan or anybody else tell you otherwise. He took all that on the cross. Now, back to Job's friends. Let's look at Bildad. After his long discourse, he basically is saying the same thing. Look at Job chapter 8, verse 20. But look, God will not reject a person of integrity, nor will he lend a hand to the wicked. What's he saying? Basically, turn your life around. Turn your life around, and God will take care of you. Basically, quit sinning and so forth. Deanna, as we were going over this, she said, this reminds me of what we saw back in 2005 when Katrina hit New Orleans. How many of you saw where Christians were posting all kind of stupid stuff? I was okay to say stupid. I'm going to say it anyway. I've said some things, and I think even back then, before my major grace revolution of about 2008 and 2009, I don't think I even said this, but there were things going around the internet, well, that New Orleans is such a wicked city and it's God's wrath coming out. And God is sending that kind of stuff to them. Do y'all remember seeing that? I hope y'all weren't a part of that. You might have been, but I hope you know better now, right? But I'm just saying that that's in the mind of a lot of Christians even today, because they still are under that law system in their thinking. They're still under the thinking that God's wrath and God's punishment is right there just waiting to pounce on us. And after all, the Holy Spirit's convicting you and beating you up when you blow it and that kind of thing. It's no wonder we come out with crazy sayings, isn't it? Let's move on to friend number 3. See, I told y'all I was going to zip through these chapters, didn't I? In Job 11, we see Zophar, who is another friend. Once again, pretty much the same thing. He said in Job 11, verse 13 through 15, if only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands to him in prayer. In other words, you got a friend that's going through trouble you just need to pray more. You just need to do this more, serve in the church more, right? Look at this. Get rid of your sins and leave all iniquity behind you. Then your face will be brightened with innocence. You will be strong and free of fear. Wow. So in other words, the recipe of Zophar to get rid of fear in your life is to basically pray more, is to basically deny sin more and try to quit sinning, leave that behind and so forth, then you can get rid of fear. Wow. Anybody y'all ever tried that recipe? I've tried it more than once and it does not work, okay? Once again, he's saying, is there sin in your life? Get rid of that sin, live righteously, and then you're going to be innocent. So friends, that's how many of you were taught. And as I said before, in the name of Jesus, repent. Change your mind about that kind of thing. By the way, this is not new. It came up to Jesus one time in John chapter 9, verse number 1. It says Jesus was walking along with his disciples, and walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Would you say blind from birth? Blind from birth. These disciples were knuckleheads, weren't they? Hey, I'm one too, okay? Here's one of the questions. They said, Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sin? Think about that question. He was born blind, and then he said, well, was it because he sinned? I guess he sinned before he was born. Y'all will catch that in a minute. It'll come around, okay. That was not a good question, okay. But the mentality is, if bad things happen, it's because of somebody's sin. Somebody's got to be punished, right? So it's coming out in things like illnesses and being blind and so forth. And Jesus' answer, let's look at this in John chapter 9, verse 3. He said it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, this happens so the power of God could be seen in him. Wow. God is always about healing. God is always about restoration. He's not about putting illnesses onto people and inflicting judgment upon them. Look at the next verse in John chapter 9, verse 4. He said, "We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us." By the way, why did Jesus come? He came to restore. He came to heal. He came to, yes, forgive sins, but it goes so much deeper than that. And he's saying, if you see somebody that's sick, see somebody hurting, comfort them, love them, care for them. Don't come and tell them, well, if you'll quit sinning, this will go away from your life. Wow. If you have friends like that, who needs enemies? True? He said, "The night is coming and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus is not about the darkness of sickness. He's not about the darkness of sending difficulty, inflicting pain upon you. He's all about the opposite of that. So listen, church, if you believe God is still chasing you down and punishing you for your sins, you just negated the blood of Jesus Christ and part of the finished work of the cross. I'm not kidding. You really did. So let's start receiving. I want to mention this again in Psalm 103. I know y'all may get sick of me saying this, but I have a lot of life verses as I was sharing with the Life Matters Outreach staff this week with Vicki. And one of my life verses is Romans chapter 6, verse 14, which says, "We are not under law, but we're under grace and in the freedom of God's grace." And I told that group this week, I said, that's one of my life verses, meaning I don't know what this means. I don't know what it means to be under grace. I'm learning and I'm growing. That's one of my verses. I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure out what that means. That's how deep being under grace is. We think we've got grace figured out. That's like saying we've got Jesus figured out. We got all of his blessings and favor figured out. I don't need to study grace anymore. That's not a good comment to say. This verse is one of them too. I just keep coming back to it. It says that it's like the Holy Spirit couldn't wait to prophesy what was coming at the cross. This was in the Old Testament, of course, Psalm 103, verse 10. "He does not punish us for our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve." I'll wait for the amens to die down. All right. "For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west." Wow. What some powerful verses, I tell you. I'm so thankful that Christ came. I'm so thankful I'm not under the old covenant system of that I get this an eye for an eye kind of thing. That I get it. I do bad, I deserve bad. I'm going to get bad. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful that we don't live under that anymore, aren't you? The scene that I want to move to in the shack is actually scene number 10. This is the scene where Jesus said, "I've got something on the other side of the lake I want to show you." And he actually tells Mac, he says, "If you want to get in my boat and go across the lake, I've got something I need to finish up in the shop a little bit later. And I'll meet you on the other side." So you're going to see where Mac gets in the boat and some terrible things happen in his own mind. I love this scene because basically Jesus allowed him to experience in real time or in physical, tangible ways of the boat starting to sink and things like that. But basically it was all in Mac's mind. The fear, the anger, all these things were eating him up inside. And just pay attention to that part very carefully and what Jesus was telling him while he was sinking. And we'll be back. Mac was in the boat, and of course Jesus allowed him, as I said, to experience some tangible physical things. He thought he was sinking and just in turmoil inside. And then Jesus said, basically, he said, "This is just you. This is internally what's going on with you." And the antidote, by the way, for him getting through that particular difficulty was Jesus was saying, "Look at me. Stop. Look at me." So many of you might have come just for that reason today. You're going through something difficult. You're being consumed by it. You may need to just hear God saying, "Stop looking around you and look at me." What was going on in Mac? throw out some things that was going on in Matt right now. Help me.
Fear.
Fear. Okay.
Anger.
Lack of faith.
Guilt.
Unforgiveness is a big one, because that comes up later in the movie as well. But folks, these things are like a cancer. They're like that black water that was busting through the boat, trying to fill up the boat of your life with just evilness, with uncertainties, with fear, with all of these kind of negative emotions that just will take you under if you don't learn to take those thoughts captive and say, what have I got to fear? Go to a verse like in 1 John, if you'll look at this with me, in 1 John chapter 4. What is the antidote to fear? I believe if you'll go to this verse, the answer is right here. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels or casts out all fear. Who is perfect love, by the way? God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They all are. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the finished work of the cross. How do you do that? Well, you come to enlist, sit down, and hear it being taught. You read your Bible through the lens of the grace message of understanding. I'm looking for a revelation of Jesus Christ. You listen to podcasts of other people, and you get your mind off of your problems, and you, those problems begin to shrink. You begin, the boat was filling up, and now you're riding above the difficulties and the storms of life, because you realize that you're in the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that it's not you that's going to fix that problem. It's not you that's going to sustain yourself through that problem. It is Jesus Christ who's going to do it, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you realize that God has not left us. It says here in the rest of the verse, if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. Once again, we've said before that we think God's all about punishment, and therefore I'm walking in fear of God. Oh, if I don't reverence Him, He's going to be mad at me. How much of my Christian life was just like that? My motive for serving was all about trying to not get punishment. I wanted to be a good Christian. I wanted to get closer to God by doing all these things. And oh, what work. As he says in the movie, he said religion is too much work, right? And he said, well, what about being a good Christian? And he wasn't blaspheming Christianity. Christian means Christ-like. But he said, I'm not really what you would call a Christian, am I? You see, we have defined Christianity as about serving, as about doing the right thing. We're still living out of the overflow, or out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As I said a week or two ago, we're trying to jump from one branch of the evil branch to do good works to the other side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we're in the wrong tree the whole time. We need to get out of that tree and get into the tree of the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ. But it says, if we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. That's what you call growing in grace. Growing in God's understanding of how much He loves us, first of all. And then look at this. It ends up with verse 19. It says, we love each other because He loved us first. We love because He first loved us, I think the New King James says. So when we're not walking in the understanding that God is good and that God loves us, fear will ultimately take over our life a lot of times. Just like Mac in the boat. He kept calling out to him, say, hey, look at me. So when you get fearful, husbands, when your wife's getting fearful, say, hey, look at Jesus. Don't try to fix her. Just say, hey, look at Jesus. Wives, do the same thing. Do to your children. Just say, hey, let's look at Jesus. Let's get our eyes off of what's going on here. Let's just trust it into God's hands and let Him work it out and realize He's not abandoning us. We're not out there in the boat alone. You remember in the Bible in Matthew chapter 14, this is the scene where Jesus sent the disciples to the other side. So I'm sure the clip in the movie probably came from that particular scene. But Jesus sent the disciples to the other side. Question, did Jesus not know a storm was coming?
Of course He did.
Sure He did. That's right. He sent them to the other side, and so many times we're saying like Mac, well, you sent me out here. Why would you send me into something like this? Well, here Jesus comes walking on the water, and Peter, of course, looks up and says, well, they thought it was a ghost, first of all. But Peter looks up and says, if this is you, Lord, call me out. And so Peter steps out, you know the story, and he's got his eyes focused on Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden he starts noticing the storm around him, and he begins to sink. Friends, it's time when you feel like you're sinking, you feel like that you can't get out of the hole that you're in, it's time to step out of those fears and step into perfect love. You're already in it, you just don't know it in your head. You just need to help your reality catch up with the things that you're learning here. Because I've had people say, yeah, preacher, it's all fine and dandy what you're saying up there, but that ain't helping me tomorrow. I said it's because you're not letting it help you tomorrow. You know, when we say, well, that ain't going to change nothing out there just because I know God loves me, I'm telling you it will change you. If you really listen, you keep growing in it. I've got the t-shirt, I know. I'm telling you, I've been in some tough spots in the last few years, and this is right in the middle of me really growing in grace. But it's time to step out of the boat of fear and step into Christ's faith. Don't step into your faith. I know we've talked about this before, but we have Christ's faith. I used to think I had to drum up my own faith. No, I already have all the faith I need. It's the faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ. But step out of doubt into God's security. Step out of anger into God's love. I want to close with a song that Angel and I were writing. I don't know if she had it on her iPod or her phone, or we just heard it on the radio, but Casting Crowns has a song that's entitled, Oh My Soul. There's a place where fear must face the God you know. And I thought, what a perfect word for this particular message, which Mac was out there, and his fear had to face the God he knows. Some of you this week, this might be what's going to happen to you. You're going to walk in fear and difficulty, and that fear is going to collide with the love of God, and I'm telling you who's going to win, and it ain't fear. Amen? It's going to be the love of God. So listen carefully to this song, and for you that would like to stay after the service for discussion, you please do that. But we appreciate you for being here. May you go out of here encouraged today. I always get encouraged when I preach because I'm preaching to myself as well as I'm preaching to you. And the Holy Spirit just encourages me because it gets rough out there in life. You got customers that don't want to act right, employees and owners that don't want to act right. Ain't that right, some of my employees? We got people that don't want to do right, and it can get you discouraged sometimes. And we need to be encouraged, don't we? We need to be encouraged and lift up and realize that this thing is way bigger than our small little circumstances that's going on out there. So listen to the words of Oh My Soul.